You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Friday. That means it is time for a set apart to serve conversation. And it has been a busy summer for many of us in the LCMS. We had a lot of events this summer. I think our travel season is wound down now and lots of events. But there were several events and activities and conversations around set apart to serve. We got to hear from the Reverend Dr. James Bonnick recently about some of his travels and visits set apart to serve. Today, we get to check in with Mr. Glenn Rollins about where he got to visit and talk about set apart to serve and hear conversations that were encouraging about encouraging young people and adults to consider church work. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Chicago. You can learn more about Concordia University Chicago by visiting cuchicago.edu. Joining us today, Mr. Glenn Rollins. He serves as manager for Set Apart to Serve. Glenn, welcome back to The Coffee Hour.
Good to be here. Thanks.
You had a busy summer too. We were traveling kind of in different directions. I don't know if our paths crossed a whole lot this summer, maybe once or twice. I'm not sure. But you had a busy season. So tell us about where your travels took you to get to have conversations and hear conversations encouraging youth and adults to consider church work vocations.
Well, I was really blessed to work with the Higher Things folks once again this past summer, and I went to all three of their gatherings that they had, their conferences. It was pretty exciting. I had never been to one of their conferences until I started working here. I never even really knew much about it. But much like when we talk about our youth gathering, we also have these Higher Thing conferences, which bring in, you know, anywhere around 2,000 kids. Many of them repeat year after year, though, which is kind of fascinating to me that they would come back. And I actually saw a young woman who I had met 2 years ago in Carbondale, Illinois, at SIU, and she came to the conference that was up in Grand Rapids, and she was at Seward, and you know she's actually going to go to Seward and become a church worker. So some of those things are kind of cool to see those repeats there. But the Higher Things conferences kept me busy. There was one more conference I'll throw in at the end, but Higher Things was very busy. If I can go ahead and talk about one of the things that we're doing differently or that we've added is to have young adult representatives is what we call them. And that is current students who are at our Concordias go with to the Higher Things conferences and they sit at the exhibit table and talk with young people. They are the major part of the presentations that we have within the breakouts, the breakaways that they have. And so this actually is an idea that came out of my wife suggesting, well, why don't you think about bringing somebody from who's been there, is right now in the colleges and they can tell you what's going on right away. And I, cause I had been kind of at the Carbondale one, I was like, hey, how come I didn't get as many people to stop at mine as some other booths, you know? And she said, you should think about this. And so, I thought maybe talking about what was going on at Seward in the 70s would bring a lot of people in, but I still live back there too much, I guess. But having a couple of young people who are currently at our Concordias at the Higher Things conferences was, and this is the second year we've done it, it's just a great opportunity for the kids who go to the conference to hear what's actually happening at our Concordias in church work programs. So I'm not sure. I think you're going to talk to some of those young people as well. So we're just really blessed. I think we kind of spread our numbers a little bit thinner this year. There weren't as many kids who were able to come to as many of them, but they're just, it was a real blessing and fun to watch as they interact with kids that are just below their peer level, if you will.
Yeah, tell us more about the conversations that they were able to have. What were some of the outcomes of their time and efforts at the Higher Things conferences?
Yeah, it's each of the venues is different. So we were at Concordia Seward was one of them. At Calvin in Michigan was the other one, and at the University of Massachusetts in Amherst, Massachusetts as well. And so some of it depends on where you get to have your exhibit tables. There's got to be somebody does seminars or books on where to place tables and everything. It's a whole different aspect that I ever had to worry about as far as in education when I was a teacher and a principal. But a lot of time it is just maybe that first quick conversation, but it's kind of interesting to see how kids, you know, wrap around and come back and talk with these young people a little bit more. You see those quicker conversations. I mean, actually, though, at one point I had to say, hey, look, if you want to have a longer conversation with someone, that's great. Maybe you need to go a little bit away from the table because sometimes that kind of stops people from stopping there. So you'd see that happen where they would want to, you know, step off to the side and hear a little bit more about, you know, what it's really like to be in the Deaconess Preparation Program. Or you know, what, you know, tell me about your journey to becoming somebody who wants to go to a Concordia. And those are a little longer conversations. A lot of it's just people going by and then they're actually seeing, okay, here's a young person who's at a Concordia. It really does happen. In our breakaways, like I said, the majority of the time was those young people telling their story, how the Lord took them, put it on their heart to think about going to Concordia. It's pretty exciting to see and hear about that story, which is one of the biggest things that we share at Set Apart to Serve is how the Lord works to put it on someone's heart that they should think to go into church work for Him for the harvest. So.
Any other event? I know you were at the Higher Things events this summer. Any other events that you were traveling to that you want to mention before we get into what's coming up this fall?
Sure. I actually did also for one day go to the big conference that the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education has. And when that happens, I mean, I've never been to that. All of my education work was at Lutheran schools that did not have that aspect to it. So similar to the young people who go to Higher Things, the people who are at the CCLE, I think they see that there's great opportunities to share about church work options. And I think what we want to do is how do we help them? How do we help the principals there and the teachers if they're looking for more resources? So I see a little bit more possibility for there being some good collaboration between us there. So it was a good conference to be part of as well this summer. So a few miles this summer.
In the middle of all that traveling to all the conferences, you also were doing some preparation for things this fall.
Right.
Tell us about what's happening this fall and how these events will help serve the church and leaders engage youth and adults in conversations about futures in church work.
One of the things that I have seen is that when I went to district teachers conferences, sometimes it was a little bit more kind of scattered and I wasn't able to get talk to the people who sometimes make those decisions or really push agendas, and that's the principals. So in cooperation with the district education execs of our districts, I'm going to be doing something a little different. Instead of going to their district principals meetings, I'm going to Zoom in for a little bit. And the idea is to Zoom in, to spend some time just going over, I've got a short PowerPoint to share about some, you know, recent stats. I mean, there's all kinds of stats that we have. Like, for example, more youth consider church work if a church worker's talk with them about it. It seems intuitive, but when you see that if a church worker has talked to someone, to a young person, almost 50% would even consider it, compared to if they've not been talked to, only 17% think about it. We're sharing stats like that with these principals. We're sharing, some kind of very very challenging statistics as far as in 2024, there were 472 requests for commissioned workers that went to our Concordias. And, you know, the number that was placed was 187. So that gap is a very challenging statistic there. On the other hand, we want to share that there was increased enrollment in our church work student numbers at our Concordias in 24-25. And we're hoping to see that trend take off and do a little bit more again this year. So people need to hear that there are some good things like that going on. And then working with the principals, one of the things I want to show them are maybe some good ideas that they can use in their school to talk more about church work recruitment and ways that they can maybe jumpstart that within their school. So we've got the PowerPoint with statistics and ideas and things to share that are exciting, and here we go. And at the same time, give them some really good ideas that maybe they could put in place at their school.
We're talking with Glenn Rollins, manager of Set Apart to Serve. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago. I'm thrilled to announce the Prepared to Serve Church Professional Guarantee. Any new student in one of CUC's six church work programs will pay no more than $5,000 in annual tuition and required fees guaranteed. Prepared to Serve is a donor-funded initiative. Support future church work students by becoming a funding partner at cuchicago.edu/preparedtoserve. Concordia University Chicago. With Christ at the center, we stand tall for the church.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with Glenn Rollins, manager of Set Apart to Serve, about all of his travels this summer and also all the things happening this fall on encouraging church workers to talk to young people about church work. You were sharing some stats that about things that seem kind of obvious. Like if I'm a church worker, I want to talk to young people about church work. But those stats that you shared are really incredible. Have you been able to share those stats with people previously? If there's some reaction or people's response to hearing things like that?
We do that, you know, when we go out to various places, and again, the Higher Things conferences are of a different ilk than going and talking with principals and other church workers. When we do that and they start to see some of the positives that are happening, I guess I would say, it's encouraging. We have had some challenges, and now with that, we believe that we've kind of turned and are trending upwards. It is good to hear those positive things that are going on. I mean, here's another statistic that from a youth survey, there were 23%. This was in 2024, 23% that would consider a church worker career, but they've not yet decided, and 27% that they never really thought about it. And my view is that 50%, that's who we get to talk to. They're out there. They're open. Let's talk about it. So when people hear about that, I think our view is that hopefully that's encouraging to them, that there's things you can start talking with young people. And we want that to happen at a very early age. You know, you don't wait till they're a senior in high school. That's kind of past where we could wait till that, me deciding to go to Seward back in 1975, a few weeks before I graduate from high school, that's not the norm anymore of what's happening with young people and decisions that are made. So your question was, are we seeing people respond to it? We are, and I think that has to kind of get a momentum and keep going. There's just so many positives out there with that.
You mentioned a little bit ago connecting with principals at Lutheran schools through joining the conferences through Zoom. What are other ways that you connect with leadership in LCMS districts? We have 35 districts across the LCMS. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to meet with everyone all at the same time. So how do you connect with leaders in across LCMS districts?
Next week, actually, I am have been invited to speak a little bit with district ed execs. They meet by Zoom on a quarterly basis, so I'm going to go in and talk with them about this. Getting into their principals meetings, or are there other places? Are there some times where they have DCEs that gather, or lay leaders? We want to make sure that we took look at the broad variety of possibilities within that district. But the district ed execs, a lot of people don't, know a lot about what they do. It's kind of in the background. They're humble people who, get their work done working through the church workers that are out there. They're kind of like the glue in a lot of ways for a lot of the commission ministers of keeping things together. So I've been working with them, and I will be going to a conference that they have in December as well to talk and again, work with them. What are the ways that we can help them? What resources are there? We really want congregations to have their own set apart to serve teams. So we've got materials on our resources page that show how to set up a congregational set apart to serve focus team. We want the districts to have their own set apart to serve teams as well. And many districts have set that up already. So how can Pastor Bonnick be a resource to them as they do their work within their districts? So we're trying to take the different, I guess, segments, building blocks of what makes up this church, and find ways that we can help them out. So that's what we build on with, like I said, next week, meeting with district ed execs. So it's just, there's just so many different things, providing the resources. We put together a district ed exec newsletter so that they can get things like those stats or different ideas that we are sharing with them. So that there's just, we got to get more information out. And then sometimes it's important to give them ideas, like I said, getting and sharing those ideas about things that are working. That's part of what we're doing.
So we talk about church vocations. There's more than just pastor and deaconess. There's teacher, DCE, et cetera. Is there an easy way to find out information about all of these and to have information to share with others about what all these vocations mean and do in the church?
Well, the basic starting point is to go to our webpage, lcms.org/SAS. And when you are on our webpage, all eight of the vocations are listed. And then, as I put this actually in my PowerPoint, because I wanted them to, the different people that we talked to be able to know this. And so if you click on, you name it, maybe the parish music, you're not exactly sure what's involved and you want to find out about that. We list all the Concordias. We list information and have links of how they can, go to those pages. If you are interested in a Concordia and you want to know about their parish music program, you click on Learn More at that Concordia. It'll take you directly to their pages. But we've also put down information about tuition, room and board, the fees that are there, and who the contact person is for admissions in that regard, because each Concordia has somebody who is has been established, and I think you've probably interviewed some of them already, but who's been established to work with church work education folks in that regard. So we've made it pretty easy by going to our webpage to find out information about all the programs, and where they're at and who's involved with it, and then actually what the tuition and costs are up to date for this 25-26 year. I have had a couple of Lutheran high school counselors who have said to me, this is really good for us. We have a place where we can send them, and it's going to give them up-to-date, accurate information. And our Concordia's, the costs for sending kids tuition-wise has been going down over the past few years. It's a good place to show it right there.
I did peruse the website before we talked about it today. I wanted to do my homework, make sure I knew what I was talking about when I asked questions about it.
lcms.org/SAS. And yeah, what Glenn's saying is right. There is all that information right there on that page. If you scroll down lower to the lower part of the page, say you're thinking about becoming a director of Christian outreach, you click on DCO and it tells you a little bit about what DCOs do, but then it also points you right to a page with a few bits of information about the DCO program, which I believe is at Concordia University St. Paul, and with links to that and tuition information, all that right in one handy spot.
Mm-hmm.
That was the idea, because that was one of the things that I thought when I came on board is here's an opportunity to pull that together. Because there wasn't one place that we had all of that information. So there's a lot of good people in comms who work with me on that. And then the people at the Concordias, they probably get tired of me emailing them and asking them, okay, what's happening with it? Or are there any changes? And that does happen.
That does take a lot of coordination and effort to get all that information together for so many entities all in one place. Because, yeah, with some of the, like, teacher education, Lutheran teacher education happens at several of the Concordia campuses and DCE, pre-deaconess studies and deaconess studies. That was a pretty long one, or becoming a pastor, pre-seminary and seminary education, all those. Those were a lot of information on one page, but it's great because you can get to it so easily. So thanks for
the links, the links to the individual programs. That's what I wanted there to be as well. So again, blessed with the people who work in comms at our church, and then thankful to the people that I work with at each of the Concordias, so we can have that, for comparison's sake, but also just for information's sake. So.
So we've talked quite a bit about particularly like high school students or young adults thinking about pursuing, professional church work vocation. What about, for example, a teacher who serves in another school setting, maybe a public school or a different private school? Is there an opportunity for them to become a rostered LCMS Lutheran teacher?
Yeah, that's another area that we've been working on. When I was in my previous life as a Lutheran high school principal, I have to admit that I did not know all the ins and outs of what we have called colloquy, for a variety of reasons. Probably most importantly is that while I had a couple of teachers who maybe had some interest in it, I never really had a teacher who wanted to go through that process. But one of the things that I've found is, there's a lot of steps to it. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it because we want to do that right. And in doing that, our church has put together a very, complete process to help if somebody is interested in becoming part of the roster of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. There's a very good process there from the teaching aspect, as well as from the other commission ministry aspects as well, to become part of that roster. They become colloquized. And that's, we've been working on that in a lot of ways. Our team that we have has put together a lot of information, and we're bringing that together on I'm going to go ahead and say it here, on Wednesday, October 15th, we're going to have a webinar that more information will come out for you about how to register for that. You'll see it in various places. But it's designed for educators and administrators, including those non-rostered teachers, to get a better understanding of what goes into that. The young woman who's working on it, I asked her, I said, can we have some kind of a flow chart that shows, because it's a challenge to see what you have to do here, and then if you do that, what happens next? And so we're putting that together with the idea that the more information is going to help people to make that informed decision about if they wish to become a church worker.
If people are interested in learning more about that, I know we're going to have another conversation on that, but if people have their interest piqued, where can they learn more about that colloquy program?
Well, there's going to be information that comes out where they're going to be able to register for that webinar.
Perfect.
And I actually just put out some of the PR pieces and waiting for different folks to work on that. But again, the webinar is going to be on Wednesday, October 15th at 7 p.m. That's Central Time. So people have to decide about how that works for themselves that way. But it's going to be with some of the main people involved, Pastor Paul Philp from QNET and the registrar out there, Wendy Murphy. They're going to be involved in it, and we just want to share what that is like, because and talking about our district ed execs, they are people who are looking, how do they help their schools find teachers? And we've worked with them with some pilot work on how to bring more non-rostered people in. Well, this is going to complement that and actually build on that quite well. So we're excited about how all of these things are coming together in that way.
So. Fantastic. Anything else to share with us today?
Just there's a lot of stuff going on, and a lot of it comes down to that there are so many people now who are talking about this. You could look at a stat that says our awareness level is way up there, but that's not as exciting as when either Pastor or I or anybody else goes and talks about what's happening. People say, yeah, we heard about this, or what about that? It's gaining that traction, but it's an exciting thing, and we're so feel very blessed to be part of it, and looking forward to where the Lord is going to take this.
Our guest today, Glenn Rollins, manager of Set Apart to Serve. Thank you so much, Glenn, for being our guest on the Coffee Hour today.
Thank you. It's good to be part of it.
You can learn more about Set Apart to Serve by visiting lcms.org/SAS. You've been listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.